make you think twice, and maybe even three times. Here's the Healthy Skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
Trying to decide what's healthy for us is getting harder all the time. Will it help us lose weight? Will it help us live longer? It's getting more complicated and confusing because there is so much conflicting advice out there. Well, now Nina Teicholz has come along and written a book called The Big Fat Surprise, and she's here to share her research on nutrition and hopefully shed some light on what really leads to a healthier lifestyle. Nina, I'm going to start with a provocative question for you. I'm sure you can handle it. Here you go. Would Robin Williams still be alive if he ate a high-fat diet or he moved to a different neighborhood?
I feel like you've been reading my mind.
I've been watching you and listening.
Yes. Well, so it is true that first of all, that Robin Williams was on a vegan diet for 5 years since his heart attack in 2009, according to the information that I have, which is not been completely, I'm not completely sure about that. So
I understand.
That's what I've learned. And I know that he is also lives in the same community as Dean Ornish, who counsels his patients to be on vegan diets or nearly vegan diets, which are extremely low in any kind of animal fat. And I will also say that in the large clinical trials where saturated fats in animal foods were replaced by vegetable oils, soy-filled milk and soy cheese and all animal foods were virtually eliminated. In those experiments, the people on the vegetable oil diet had higher rates of suicide and violent accidental deaths. And since then, various fatty acid imbalances and the depletion of cholesterol in the brain has been linked, not conclusively shown to cause, but has been linked to depression. So those are very suggestive data points to me about how, you know, saturated fat is essential to the your neurons to help in the mylar sheathing of them. And that's suggestive to me that a vegan diet is perhaps not the best for mental health.
I know you don't want to commit, but very provocative stuff. And I think most doctors know that our brain needs cholesterol and fat, and there are numerous health conditions that benefit from a high-fat, low-carb diet. But you brought up the vegan diet, and this guy, who I'm not going to say anything bad about, but you can, Dean Ornish has become very famous, and he has a lot of followers, and it's really based on one study he did, and you're going to tell us that that study actually showed an increased risk of death by following his lifestyle choices. Can you elaborate, please?
Yes, it is rather astonishing to learn that, as I did in my research, that Dean Ornish, his huge empire, which includes many diet books, he's the only program that is reimbursed by Medicare, so if you want to go on a diet exercise program, and if you're over 65, his is the only program. He licenses centers and doctors to do that. It's the only one Medicare will reimburse. But when you go back and dig through his study, he's always referring to the studies we did. There was actually, in terms of looking at heart disease risk factors, he only did one controlled clinical trial on 22 or 23 men, and it was a multifactorial trial. So not only did they eat a near vegan or vegan diet, but they also increased their exercise, took supplements, did meditation, did stress reduction techniques, and so they had all these other interventions. At the end of that experiment, he showed that it seemed that the arteries were clearer on the people who are in the intervention group, but, you know, first of all, it was using scan methodology, which does not track reliably with your actual heart attack risk. And you don't know whether the results he saw was due to the diet or any of the other interventions because it was multifactorial. And in the end, two people died on his intervention, and there was I think, one death in the control group. So, so a tiny study that should not be generalized to a larger population with, even in that tiny study, not, you know, the results don't go in the direction you would really want them to. And I think, you know, I've been looking around for other studies of the vegan controlled clinical trials of the vegan diet, and I think that that's it. I think that there's hardly any evidence for that diet and its efficacy and its long-term safety.
What would your cynical brain tell you is behind how this got approved by Medicare, how he got the following, and the results are completely opposite to what has been advertised?
Well, I will tell you what his colleagues have said to me, which is that Ornish has a genius for PR. I think also the larger point is that in nutrition science, this is one of the surprising things. I mean, over and over I found, and the stories that I tell in my book are about how, although you would think that nutrition science moves slowly forward with judicious, thoughtful steps, in fact, it's unusually true that it's like the great man theory of history, that charismatic, aggressive, persuasive, smooth-talking researchers have carried the day in this field. And
don't say Ansel
over
Keys.
And over again.
Let's not go into. I don't want to hear the name Ansel Keys. He's ruined my life and millions of lives. I want to segue into another question, which is the most important question I have for you and for my family's health. I have a 12-year-old son named Albert, and I want you to direct this answer to him. So my son loves McDonald's French fries. In your opinion, what should McDonald's cook their French fries in? And if they changed what they cook their French fries in, would my son be less likely to spontaneously burst into flames?
So McDonald's used to fry their French fries in tallow, which
you
is
you gotta say fat. Albert. Albert, listen up.
Albert, I want you
Thank
to
you.
Know that what McDonald's is currently using is vegetable oils that when McDonald's had to shift over to using trans-free oils, those oils are not stable. And so when one of the things they found about those oils is that they started to build up on the walls and they would get this hard junk and gunk in the drains of the fryers, and they couldn't get it off, they couldn't scrape it off. When they took the uniforms of the workers who'd been frying the French fries, those uniforms would spontaneously combust in the back of the trucks taking them away, and they, even after they were clean, they would have dryer fires because the oils, when heated, they are unstable. They oxidize very easily, and they create literally hundreds of toxic oxidation products. They're so volatile that they combust. And it's been a tremendous problem for all the major fast food restaurants that use those oils. They've had to bring in new, stronger cleaning solutions to get that gunk off the walls, and they've had to implement all kinds of solutions so that the toxic oxidation products don't rise up out of the fryers. But those products wind up in the fries and any, you know, the chicken, whatever's fried in that oil, and goes into your body and goes into your brain. And there are extremely worrisome oxidation products, things called aldehydes, that are shown to cause huge inflammation in the body, toxic shock, I mean, and do damage to in experiments in mice to the digestive system. So I'm hugely worried about those oils, which have become far more common since we've been getting trans fats out of the food supply. So, Albert?
Nina, yes, continue.
Eat your French fries fried in lard.
Excellent. Thank you. Nina, thank you so much for hopefully doing my parenting for me and for writing what is an amazing book, The Big Fat Surprise by Nina Teicholz. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD, reminding you to never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.